This is Dear Hallmark. Each week, I'll bring you reviews of your favorite Hallmark movies and TV shows. So grab a drink and let's see what we're getting into with this episode. Hello, everyone. My name is Dara. This is Dear Hallmark. This is my space where I talk about Hallmark Channel and stuff. And I am not by myself today. I am joined by the costume designer, Mr. Keith Costumes. How are you doing? I'm so happy to be talking with you right now. You have no idea.
Oh yeah, hi. I'm so excited to be here. I mean, I love talking about what I do, and I love anybody that loves talking about Hallmark movies because that's my life 24/7 these days.
Oh, we're going to get right into it, but kind of get into an icebreaker question before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of what we're going to talk about. So it's the summer. It's thick and hot where I am. I'm sweating under my glasses right now. Like, it's a hot mess. So I want to know, what's your kind of dream summer vacation destination that you haven't been to yet?
Oh, that I haven't been to. Oh,
yeah.
God. my dream, really, I would love to go to Australia. Isn't Australia, like, isn't there summer during, like, our winter?
Yeah.
So it kind of, like, would work out.
Yeah.
And, like, they have, like, you know, so, like, you can do the beach, but you also can go on, like, a fabulous, like, safari and, like, hang with kangaroos. Like, you kind of get the best of both worlds. That sounds awesome to me.
Yes, I love it. I've always wanted to go to the Gold Coast in Australia because it always looked so pretty, and I've always wanted to learn how to surf. I've never learned that.
It just takes, you know, 4 weeks to get there.
Yeah, that part is like 80 million hours. It really is.
I know. So yeah, you have to plan it where you can, like, if you're going that far, you have to be able to, like, stay if you can, just because to make that flight.
Yes, indeed. I think for me, I would love to go somewhere in Italy, like the Amalfi Coast or Positano or something like that. Dang, Instagram.
I went there in high school and it's wild.
Okay, first
it's
of
funny,
all,
my
high school? What?
It wasn't like a fabulous, like, Positano vacation. It was like, get on a bus and we're dragging you to all these, like, locations. Yeah, it was like a school trip. It wasn't like Keith's, like, you know, having a glass of wine at 18 on the, like, in Positano.
Oh my gosh.
But the thing about Amalfi, to get there is you're on the road is, like, on a cliff, and, like, it's super, like, windy, and, like, yeah, it's like, it's funny because an assistant I work with a lot, she's going there, like, this week, and I was like, and she gets super nauseous in the car, and I was like, you need to take something. And she was like, why? I'm like, because to get there, it was like an hour of, like, windy cliff roads. It's stunning, but it's, like, not the most nice for your stomach.
See, this is what happens when Instagram influences me, because this is the only,
yeah, not,
like,
to burst your bubble here.
But I still want to go, because it, like, from all of the videos I've seen, it just looks positively gorgeous. Like, I really want to see it with my own eyes. But what, so high school, like, what kind of trip was that? Was it for history class or an art class or senior trip?
I don't know. I know it wasn't a senior trip. It was something you had. It was, like, extra. It wasn't, like, included. So, like, but, you know, honestly, on school trips, I mean, what a deal compared to, like, now as, like, an adult. I know, like, the Latin class was going, but, like, I was not taking Latin. I don't know. I think I just, like, hopped on board and I had some friends going. I don't know how I got involved, but yeah, I don't know, because I, like, took Spanish. It was not Italian.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. So, kind of going in that vein, let's go back even further to little Keith. And if you were to look at little Keith right now, if we were to kind of just watch a movie of little Keith living his life, what would we see? What are some of the things that you were into, and how did fashion and costuming become a part of that?
That's a great question. So little me, I'm from a hockey family. So I grew up playing hockey, and then I stopped. I didn't quit. I just didn't go back another season. different. And
okay.
The thing is, as a kid, I don't know what I was thinking. My brother played, so I was still dragged to hockey games all the time. But I always loved like drawing and art, and I would always like instead of like coloring books, I would replicate like those drawings. So I would like use that as a visual just because it was like clean line. So I would always be like at my brother's hockey games drawing like Scooby-Doo because Scooby-Doo was my favorite. And then I also would be there like drawing like wedding gowns because I loved the I don't know, I always loved bridal because there was always so much like emphasis on like this one dress you wear. And like then I like fell in love with, you know, like Princess Diana's like insane train and stuff like that. But I never really connected that as like a career. It was just something like the way my mind worked. Like my mind worked like creatively with like the body. And then when I kind of had stopped playing hockey, my mom had put me in art classes outside of school, at this place called the Connecticut Art School, because I grew up in Connecticut. And so from 8 to 18, I took art classes outside of school. So for 10 years, and we learned, you know, everything: color, line, form, shape, different materials, painting, pastel, line, all this stuff. And the cool thing about the way that that trained me was it went from, you know, instructional art, like, okay, we're going to show you step by step how to do this. And as you get older and you move up in the levels, they teach you to how to like start creatively thinking for yourself. Like, okay, like literally, it would be like, what do you want to draw today? Like, do you want to do something observational? Do you want to do something like with fabric? Do you want to do something sculpture? Like, how do you have an idea like visually, and how do you want to like visually portray that? Which worked and helped me a lot when I got going into college, which that was a thing too, because in high school I was a big runner. I did cross country and
Oh,
track.
cool.
And I had to decide though, do I want to do, you know, sports in college, or do I want to do art? And I remember being in English class, and we were doing, you know, you have to do like your college essay. So we were doing like a mock college essay. And our teacher was like, write about something that like, you know, you're passionate about or like you've done for a long time. And I was divided between like, do I talk about like running, which I like really liked, or do I talk about art? And a friend of mine at the time was like, well, you've been doing art way longer. Like, it's been a consistent. And she's right. I mean, from 8 to 18, that's like a very transitional phase in your life. You're totally a different human being. So I wrote it about like art and design and how that like affected me as a human being. And then that kind of phased me into going to like art and design school in college. So yeah, it's like a really kind of like weird way, but the consistent for me has always been like art and design. And it's always been art and design oddly focused towards like garments. And I think it's also, I'm fascinated by like the human body and how it moves, because with my traditional training as art, like I did like figure drawing and like just gestural drawing and things like that, and how like the human body like sits and moves and this and that, and how it is as like a piece of art as nature. So then understanding that and then building on that with clothes, I think, has always been like an interesting thing for me.
So would you say having that essay and then talking with your friend about it, that was that moment where you doing art kind of turned from something your mom made you do to something that you actually wanted to do yourself? Or did that happen earlier?
It's something I always wanted to do. I just didn't know how to really ever take it outside of like, you know, what you do in like your curriculum at school. Like, I always like loved art class, but I didn't know like where to take it from there. So I think it wasn't a forced thing. I think my mother was just like, well, if you're not going to do sports, like you got to do something, not have to, but you know, like go and like meet people and like these stuff. But I think that was a transition phase where I was like, oh yeah, that like you're right. Like I have been doing that for a long time. And oh yeah, like maybe that is something that I am passionate about. Like just something like we all do things every day that bring us joy, but we don't necessarily register it as like, oh, like this could be something that I want to explore as like a business or just like a passion or a hobby. I think that kind of, yeah, I never actually thought about that. That probably was a light bulb moment of like, oh yeah. And then when it came to looking at colleges and stuff, it was like, oh yeah, great. Like this works for me. But the college thing's a whole nother story too.
I mean, you're introducing it. You might as well talk about it. What happened in college?
So like I had applied to like a bunch of places like you do, but like I never like normal like curriculum was like not my thing like at all. Like everybody always thinks like, oh, you're an artist, math must be your favorite. No. I'm not like, you know, Van Gogh here. Like, I'm like, it just doesn't, my mind doesn't work that way. I was always like fine, but like I wasn't gonna go to some like Ivy League school, nor did like I want to, because that's just like not me. So I ended up applying to and going to Ringling College of Art and Design in Sarasota, Florida. But I had originally wanted to go as an animator because that was like
Whoa.
my big dream. I always, like I mentioned Scooby-Doo earlier, like I loved like animation and like traditional animation. You would draw each individual cell. Like, for example, it's like 60 frames per second, right? So there's 60 individual, like they call them cells, that make up a second. So each of those were hand drawn, like, back in the day, and it is really cool and it's really hard. And they would be, there's a whole process to it. As some people would draw it, and then some people would transfer it, and then some people would paint it, and then it was like getting it in front of the camera. It was this whole thing. And I think that was my original thing, is I love processes of things, and I was always fascinated by that process of all the different stages of it. But a friend of my art teacher actually taught in the animation program, and she looked at my portfolio and she was just like, "This is not an animation portfolio." And I was like heartbroken. But what she did say is, she was like, and also, at the time, it wasn't what I wanted to hear, but she was right. My mind and my portfolio matched more, and my personality matched more with a different program that they had at the time, which I still have. It's called Business of Art and Design. So it's a program that focuses on the two sides of the brain. So you have like your creative side, and then you have your more like analytical side. Because the thought behind the program was, artists should be artists, and they should be like creative, and they should be like the best artists they can be, and not have to worry about selling their artwork or marketing it or this or that. So the Business of Art and Design program was supposed to be the bridge between the two. So it's like you could do work in between the creatives and the executives at like a marketing agency or an advertising agency. And you could do all like the pitches and things like that. So the whole thought was, do you could have a creative idea, and then you could also like build it up with like a business background. And I did do that program. That's what I graduated with. That's what my degree is. But while I was there, they had a film program, and my friend Hannah and I would, Hannah did it more than I did, but we just for fun would do like the costumes for like student films, or like I took the costume design course and the production design course because I could get those as like electives for like the design part of my degree. And it was like fun. I mean, I liked it, and like I learned a lot about like film and like how things look on film. And you had to like, part of those courses were you'd have to do the costumes or the production design on one of the student films, which was also cool because then you're networking with other people in like other departments. But I never ever thought I was gonna take that like outside of school. It was just something like fun to do. But then that snowballed into when I graduated. And nobody wanted me. I didn't have a job. But from the people I met in the film program, as well as my on-campus job, I had an opportunity presented to me to be an intern on a TV show called Mozart in the Jungle. And it was one of these phone calls, which a lot of...
That
Oh, good.
Yep, go ahead. I
That's how I started. So I started on season two as an intern, and it literally was one of these phone calls, which anybody watching this, and I'm sure you've heard from other people in this business, it's a phone call that's like, "Can you be in New York tomorrow?" Or, "Can you be somewhere tomorrow?" So in this case, it was like, and I'm like, freaking what, 21, 22? I'm like, I don't know. But of course, I'm like, yes, of course. So I found my way to New York, made it work, and I was like commuting an hour back and forth. I was like working as an intern. I thought I was gonna be fabulous. I thought what a lot of people think about this business is like, it's gonna be great, and you just like, you know, like drink tea all day and like hang with celebrities. I thought that's what it was. I was hitting the hot New York streets in the summer, doing returns, running around, driving in the city. I've never done that before. I was just happy to work, period. And then again, kind of like I was saying earlier, it wasn't even registering to me that this could be like my future. It was just like a job at the time. And then I was like, I was good at it and I liked the process of it. I like processes of things. I learned about the process of, like acquiring, how everybody goes about acquiring costumes, whether they're buying them or they're making them or they're borrowing them, and how that whole, like, when we borrow things, you have to have a certificate of insurance. There's a whole paperwork back side of it. So I learned all of that really from when I was an intern. And then the following season on Mozart, I was a production assistant for the whole season. So I really learned about how the department is set up, and which is what I tell young people too, is like, don't brush off being like the lower like positions, because like that's where I learned everything. And I also asked a lot of questions and I worked for some awesome people, and I expressed to them like what I wanted to do, or what I thought I wanted to do at the time. And they would like throw me like bits of information, like how to organize jewelry, how to properly organize like a rack based on like types of clothing for a fitting, types of hangers to use. Like, and it all sounds like stupid things, but now as a designer, I get it, because it helps you work faster in certain ways. If you know how certain things are organized, and like if you work with a team that knows how you like it that way, it's just like this shorthand that really helped. I don't know. We got off course.
This is Tangent City. Welcome to Dear Hallmark, population two. I'm good for tangents. I really am. So you are in the right space. Please continue. That was, I think though, when you were talking about that, because, and I don't want to get ahead, but because Hallmark movies are shot incredibly fast, I can imagine that that's a good skill to have, to be able to get stuff out and arrange stuff so quickly like that.
Yes, I really learned the speed thing when I got, so my trajectory, I started in TV, so I did Mozart in the Jungle for 3 seasons. It actually what got me into the union. Then I went and worked on Quantico for 10 months, and then as a costume coordinator. So there's all these different roles in the department, and there's also different like different living out of your face. There's just so many different positions in the department, and they're all like super duper important. But one of the really important ones is the costume coordinator, because they run the shop, they track all of the money.
Oh,
They
wow.
like, yeah, they delegate to all the production assistants. If I'm like, hey, I have like 5 gowns on hold at so and so, can you send somebody to pick them up? They arrange all of that. They like keep things moving.
Wow, okay.
And then if I call them and I say, hey, I was like, where are we budget wise? And they'll be like, oh, this is how much we spent, this is how much I think we have in returns, da, da, da. So they're like a really important key element to the running of the department. So I did that probably for about 2.5 years. And then, so I started in TV, and then moving kind of out of that, I was introduced to a really great regional theater called the Westchester Broadway Theater. It was a dinner theater in Elmsford, New York. Unfortunately, it closed to the pandemic, but I designed 13 shows for them, and they would put a show up from the beginning of rehearsal to opening night in 10 days. So if you can do that, you can do anything. So,
What was that
and when
transition
I
like for
say
you?
from what, TV to theater?
Yes.
So I was fortunate, I worked with a designer and I had assisted him on a couple theater shows. And I'm naturally kind of, as an artist, I'm a visual thinker, so I'm a pretty quick learn on things. My first theater show was A Chorus Line, which is one, iconic, but two, also a really great first step into that world, because they wear the same thing the whole show, and then they only change at the finale. So each person only has two costumes, so I was able to really kind of like focus on that and like learn. But again, going back to my interest in processes, when I was an assistant and stuff, I would love looking at the tracking. Tracking's a big thing in theater, where it's like, okay, you exit stage right, and then you like run around the stage, and then you go into the pit, and then you do a quick change, and then you hop on the lift. Like, I love like all the timing of that. So even when I was an assistant, I was always like super active and like looking at that, and how can, okay, well, we're not making the quick change. Do we have to change something with the rigging of the costume? Do we need to completely change the costume? Like, what are some like solutions in that way? And theater really helps me, be a creative problem solver, because a lot of those clothes are rented. So you can't, like, the thing with rental clothes is you can't cut them, you can't significantly alter them. So you're working within those parameters, but it needs to be able to work for you. And also you're working in the constraints of, the direction and the blocking that's being given to you by your like director and your choreographer. So there's all these like different aspects that you're like working in. But that transition wasn't crazy for me. Just because, I mean, like back in the day, I mean, I think I like, I don't know, I was like Oliver in like my elementary school something. So, I'm like a thespian at heart.
You are one fascinating human being. I can't even with
Really? I'm like, I feel like I'm the most boring.
Oh no. Oh my God, this is so
So
interesting.
then I had was doing a couple theater shows, and I was kind of in this weird in between of like, it's really hard, you go and you design a theater show, and then you're the boss of your department, right? You're leading the department, it's your creative vision. I was really, really lucky to work at a theater where they pretty much let me do whatever I want within like, I mean, within reason. I mean, I wasn't like putting Showgirl randomly in there just for ha-has. But what I'm saying is like, as a young creative, that was such a gift. But then you're going back and then you're just like working underneath somebody else. It's a difficult mind adjustment. So I was coordinating another show for like NBC, I think. And I got a call to design my first Christmas movie. And it wasn't Hallmark, it was independent. And ever since then, I was just like, after I did it, I was like, I just didn't look back. And it wasn't even like a conscious thing. It was just kind of like, once you kind of set yourself on a like a trajectory, if you just like keep feeling it out and like you keep going for it. And I mean, I'm fortunate in a lot of ways, but I think a lot of it was just like mentally myself identify myself as like the leader of the department. I'm the costume designer, like putting yourself in that mindset. Like always, there's that old saying of, work for the position you want, or like pretend you're already in that position because you're already like actively like moving yourself forward. I was doing a lot of that, and it's worked out for me.
Oh, Keith. Oh, Keith. So let's talk about these Christmas movies. Let's talk about your entrance into the Hallmark universe and what that looked like, what that call was like. Have you heard about Hallmark before the call? I need your E True Hollywood story. I need everything as it pertains to your relationship with the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, of course. Yes, I'd heard of Hallmark before. I when I was and I still don't. I mean, we work freelance in this business, so it's always like, whoever calls you for what. Like, I feel like I'm a chameleon. I can do a lot of different things. I've done a thrillers, I can do a horror. Like, I'm not just one thing. I had done a Lifetime movie for a production company here in the Northeast, and they were doing a Hallmark after this, but they actually had already had, at that time, they had a costume designer, but then they ended up filming two Hallmarks at the same time, and they wanted this designer for this other one. And I remember being on set for this Lifetime movie, and I randomly got a script in my email, and it was for Next Stop Christmas, and I didn't know it was that. I just knew there was a train involved, and all I cared about was the train. I have to be honest, I was like, I want to do a movie on a train. So I'm standing in this like kitchen, and I'm looking at my email because as designers and like department heads, you're always like connected. So I'm always like checking my email, and I was like, and I knew the producer was like kind of right in front of me. So I was like, and I was like. He was like, read the script. And I was like, oh, no, I want to do it. Like, I want to do it. Like, I'm doing it. And he's like, well, read the script. No, but like, I'm going to do it. And I was like, and I don't know if you've heard this before, but like Hallmark, they like to have final approval on their creative teams. So I was like, oh, well, like, what's that process like? And he was like, oh, well, they've already said yes. And I was like, what do you mean they've already said yes? So a couple of weeks, and I actually the final week of filming that, I had started on Next Stop because it was like I don't know why that year, we were just like really really busy in the fall because there's so many from all networks, there's so many movies, and I think we're always like oh there's plenty of time to do it, and then the fall hits and then you're like like you got to do it, so yeah I remember signing on to that. And when I started on that, I asked a lot of questions about not just the script but the brand as a whole, because I want to know, because the thing is there's definitely like a style and a look and a feel, and they're all slightly different, and each story has something interesting about it. And I mean, I'm biased, but I think like the ones I've gotten to work on are like the cooler ones that have very cool, interesting things. Like with Next Stop. Like with Next Stop, I mean, one, it's a Back to the Future reunion with Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson. Two, it's a time traveling train. And the other cool thing about this, which I didn't realize until kind of after the fact, is both Lindsay Fonseca and Chandler Massey, that was their first Hallmark, and now there's some like fan favorites I know of a lot of Hallmark fans, which is awesome. So that one went really, really well. We made Christopher's conductor outfit, which was super magical, and he's such an awesome person. I want to do another movie with him. He's like, he's the magical conductor you want him to be.
Yes.
And he's one of those, like, he's one of those people like him with and Margaret, which we'll get to in a bit. But like there's certain people in this business that you're like, but then you meet them and they're just like the coolest people. And then after Next Stop, I did Sugar Plum Twist, which isn't just it's that's an interesting one because one, it's actually one of my favorites. It flows really, really well for me. Two, a lot of people, some people like know exactly what I'm talking about, and some people don't because that was like a Hallmark Movies Now, like exclusive. And then I think it went to like the network. So it's like it's interesting. But if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. I think it's really, really fun. There's lots of like traditional ballet and then like Latin dance stuff, and we made a fabulous red dress for the end. And then I had gotten the call for Spectacular.
What's that? What'd you say?
I remember it was December 8th, 2021. I don't know why I remember the day, but normally I think we had finished Sugar Plum in like end of October, maybe beginning of November. And normally, like at Christmas across the industry, like most shows go on hiatus for like all of December. So like you're not expecting a phone call. And I'd gotten an email about an availability check, just being like, "Are you free?" And I was like, "Oh." And I had kind of like scrolled through the email because it was kind of like a forwarded email, you know, and there was like words in there. And I was like, "Oh." And I think I saw something. And then I start like asking around. Well, then like 5 minutes later, I get a phone call from that our executive producer of Spectacular, who I work with now extensively, Justin Riker. And they set up an interview, I think the next day. And then I got the gig. And then it was also one of these gigs, speaking of what I said before, I was like, when can you start? So meanwhile, so I'm hearing all these things of, you know, it's with the Rockettes and it's all 1950s and it's a massive movie and big. We're thinking big here, Spectacular. And originally we were supposed to start shooting January 2nd of like 2023. So that means, I mean, I got the call on December 8th. So you figure that's not a lot of time, especially mixed with the holiday. So as you mentioned before, like, yes, like Hallmarks, typically we prep 3 weeks and shoot 3 weeks. Spectacular was a little different. I think we had 17 shoot days, so a little bit more than 3 weeks. But with the holiday for prep, it kind of messed it up. And obviously this was done in partnership with Madison Square Garden, who owns the Rockettes. So it was also like not just our schedule, it was like their schedule as well. So, and then of course it was in the middle of Omicron. So we have that added thing too. So we actually end up pushing a little bit because of COVID, which it's an unfortunate thing, but it does kind of help you. It's like a weird like bonus time thing. But once I was locked in, you know, it's very much like picking up the phone and you're calling friends of friends and you're making appointments at rental houses and you're trying to acquire all of these things. And it's fast. It's fast and furious. Because, and especially doing period in that time is like,
Oh,
it's like I know so many people that like wouldn't even blink at it. And I'm like, woo, let's do it. Which it is, I kind of, you do get a high off of the speed of it. You're like, I don't know. It's fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's hard, especially like the farther you go back, the harder it is. Cause like I did Spectacular this year. We have Biltmore. That's 10 years prior to that. So
Y'all
even
hear
just a
that
10
movie
year
he
jump.
said? Did y'all hear that movie he just said? We're gonna talk about it, y'all. Go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
But that 10-year jump alone is like it was significantly more work. And what I mean by that is like you're dressing your principal cast in spectacular. We had all of like the ladies who were like the dancers in the house, plus, Ruth, was it Ruth? Or Ruth might be her real name, was the den mother. And then you have the actual Rockettes, which like sometimes there were their costumes, but sometimes we dress them. And then you have the parents, and there's just it kept going, and it's an ensemble cast, which makes it so interesting because there's so many characters that are coming in and out. But that's time because it's like, especially with the ladies, it's stockings, it's shoes, it's underpinnings, it's petticoats, it's jewelry. And in those days, people very much dress. So you have gloves and you have hats and you just have things. There's lots of things. And it's fabulous. Don't get me wrong, but it's really, really hard to do with no time. But on Spectacular, we had a really, really great team that made it all possible. I mean, I was in principal fittings while they were doing like 50 to 75 background fittings a day. Which is like, I know everyone's like, oh, thank you. Because some people are like, oh, whatever, it's 50 people. But like, it's 50 to 75 people in like complete head to toe. Like, the whole orchestra we had to do, like, that was all tuxedos and like black dresses. We had to do the entire audience. We had people that were just like, working there. We had, yeah, there was about, I mean, overall in that movie, I think principal wise, we had over 200 costumes. I think it was like 220. And then background wise, we had over 750 actual physical people, but we had multiple changes. So thank you. It's probably over 1,000, almost 2,000 costumes. It's wild. It was wild. It was wild.
I have to insert a question. So, do you, as the costume designer, are you the one that puts the costume department, like who does the different roles together? Or is that more a producer network decision in terms of hiring the rest of the costume department?
Per my experience, it's always me. Typically, the first person I hire under me is I hire an assistant designer, and then I'll hire a wardrobe supervisor because actually, which a lot of people don't know this, at least in the US, I can't speak internationally. In the US, the costume department and the wardrobe department are two different departments. And
Do tell.
they're actually also two different unions. So in the design union, it's costume designers, assistant costume designers, and costume coordinators. So those people, me and my team, we're focused on the design, the creation, the sourcing of it, the shopping, that we do the fittings. Now on the wardrobe side, it's wardrobe supervisors. They do all the continuity. It's set costumers. They make sure everything looks good. And it's our tailors. They are focused on like the integrity, the continuity. They do all of like the laundry, the dry cleaning, the tailoring, all of that more technical stuff. I typically will hire the wardrobe supervisor because we have to work very closely together, obviously. And then they'll hire sometimes the rest of that department. I've like worked in this business a bunch, very fortunately, since from like the beginning of my career. So like I know a lot of people, I know tailors I like working with. So sometimes I do like throw a name and stuff, and it is very fluid like that because sometimes like, oh hey, I need a shopper, and they're like, hey, I know this person, they're really great, you'd like them. So it's not super divisive like that, but yeah, I mean, typically me as a designer, I like to at least hire my supervisor and like my assistant. But I've even hired production assistants that I've known too, like. It just depends. Usually, sometimes I'm like, it's so crazy. I'm like, does anybody know somebody? Can they be here right now?
Can you talk about outside of the 700 million costumes that you had to do for a holiday spectacular, what was one of the most challenging days you can think about? And then on the flip side, what was one of the most rewarding days you can think about?
Well, that's an easy answer because the hardest. This day was the day I got COVID.
No.
So I remember that day. So we were in Brooklyn. I think it was our last day in the city because we shot 3 days at Radio City. We shot one day in Brooklyn exterior of like the boarding house. So we did all that, like when she's in the red coat and she meets John and yada, yada, yada. And they're coming home from Thanksgiving. We did all that in one day. And I got COVID that day because we were in the middle of Omicron and
No.
I had to leave. So then I had to start designing the movie from my phone. And
No.
God, oh, wait, well, here's the thing. It was came at good timing because we shot 4 days in the city. Then we went on a 2 week like back into prep because we moved a lot upstate. Because we shot like all the Philadelphia stuff and a lot of interiors upstate in Newburgh. So it kind of worked out. So I was able to like kind of finish the my team really with me on the phone. We were able to finish that day. So that was a big challenge. The most rewarding day, I mean, it's kind of two things. I will always remember my fitting with Anne Margaret, which was the Sunday before we started shooting. Because like I mentioned with like Christopher, there's certain people, and what I mean is like she came up in a time that was totally different in Hollywood, like the studio system, and like separate from like her work, just the way that she was like trained and her experience in this business is like something that I feel like we'll never be able to like replicate. And it's just like her stories and the way she carries herself, like I admire so much. Like she walked into that fitting and she like shook every single person in that room's hand, like had a little conversation with everybody, was not in a rush whatsoever. And just like an utmost professional, and then like she like gave me a hug. So like that's all I care about.
I love that. I love
And then the other thing was just shooting at Radio City was like a moment because it's such an iconic space. And I know like it's not an easy place like logistically to be able to film. So I felt very privileged and honored to be able to do that, especially like such, and I don't know, it was such a big film for them and is, and I hope continue to be. Because I mean just I mean New York at Christmas, I mean nothing more says like the Radio City Rockettes, period.
Exactly. And it fits your namesake, the iconic Keith costumes. It only makes sense that you work on an iconic movie. I love it. I love it. And you seem to be having themes between Next Stop Christmas, A Holiday Spectacular, and you teased a Biltmore Christmas, which I feel like is this season's Holiday Spectacular, like just with the buzz with Christopher Palaha, Bethany Joy Lenz. We're traveling back in time. It's almost like a period piece too. Can you tease us a little bit on the costumes and what it was like working on that set?
I like posted on Instagram, if you liked the clothes of Spectacular, you're going to die at the clothes of Bill. Like, and what I mean is like I will always love Spectacular. It was such a big movie for me. But I learned a lot from it. Like I learned a lot to kind of like where to focus, where to spend my budget's money and stuff like that. And I think it really, really paid off. And also we kind of like overall, like it wasn't like 700 plus background, you know, it was like 400. So like that difference in 300 background, like I'm able to like, you know, do all the pieces on everybody and like do it really, really well. And so yeah, we have there's a couple gown moments. We love a gown
We love a
moment.
gown. Okay.
We do love a gown. Hallmark loves a gown. And yeah, I mean, filming, I mean, again, talk about an iconic location. And that, have you ever been to the Biltmore?
Never, but now I want to.
Yeah, no, totally. It's so weird because speaking of Biltmore, it my brother actually interned there when he was in college. So it was kind of like a weird full circle thing. And the whole estate is just one, it's stunning, but two, it weirdly like a movie back lot, like because we filmed all over, because you can't, like there was the hotel, they have like a village with restaurants, they have the actual house, they have the gardens, like it is like a
Wow.
whole resort, it's huge. And also really, really inspiring. I mean, the house was built turn of the century, 1800s to 1900s. And I mean, it was like it was the family's country house, believe it or not. It's absolutely massive. It's absolutely a work of art in its own. So when I was prepping it, I went down there and, you know, like walked through the house and like took in the space, which I kind of did with Spectacular as well. Like I went to Rockefeller and like imagined that in that time period. And just like walking around and thinking about how like all the ladies were always in some form of a heel and kind of like how that skirt felt against like your body, because like the 40s silhouette's totally different than the 50s silhouette. So to expect, I mean, it's definitely different style-wise. It's 1940s compared to the 50s. So we don't have those full skirts yet. But we have a great shoulder and a great waist. And yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but it's really, really pretty. It's really pretty. And I think it's gonna be like a fan favorite, not just this year, but in general. And I love, from a design standpoint, I love that it seems like the audience is loving these period movies. And it's a little different than Spectacular, because Spectacular is more flashback. Yeah, so I keep being like, what period are we gonna do next year? So everybody let me know your opinions. I mean, I really want to do 1920s
Oh,
or
great. Yes.
1980s.
Ah, material
But like,
nails.
yeah, but like, how are we gonna make 80s like Christmas? I don't know.
Oh, that
80s isn't like
part.
as cozy. Like the 40s and the 50s are kind of like, cozy Christmas. I don't
I
know.
feel like it'd have to just be like a straight up comedy if it's like an 80s
Yeah.
Christmas. It'll just have to be, it can't be like a cozy heartfelt. It just has to be like a slapstick comedy if it was an 80s Christmas movie. That would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down. I love the 80s.
So what does the future look like for you in terms of costume design? Like, where do you, this sounds like a job interview question, but it's a genuine one. Like, where do you see yourself like 5 or 10 years from now? Like, what would you hope to be doing in this space?
I mean, kind of like I mentioned, like I never know where it's gonna go because it depends on like who calls you. But like the cool thing about that is I get to choose, if you have multiple offers on the table, do you want to do more Christmas? Do you want to go into like the horror field? Like what do you want to do? I have like I want to do like a World War II piece. I want to do something that's a uniform, like very focused. I really want to dig into that. I want to do a movie musical really bad. I would love to do like a movie musical where I get to do it on stage and then in film, because that's totally different. So I mean, just like going on that thing, but I mean in general, like I feel lucky to be able to do what I do, and I just want to be able to keep doing it. And also like it's really cool to be in this space with like the Hallmark world and like those fans, because there's this old saying, I keep saying there's this old saying of good costume design's invisible, which is true, because if it matches the character, you're not really noticing it. But the cool thing about Hallmark is like the audience really appreciates it and they do notice the clothes. So I
Dang,
love working
Skippy.
in that space because we love talking about it. And there'll be plenty of clothes this year for you to notice, including some overseas in Scotland.
What's that you're saying now? You just threw out another one. Wait a minute. Wait,
Oh, did you
so
not know I did that one?
I knew it, but I was trying to tease the people. So what's
Oh,
this
okay. I thought that
other
was a tease.
movie?
Well, that one was just announced, A Merry Scottish Christmas, and this one was kind of different for me because I only dressed Lacey and Scott. So, another team over there did everybody else. I count it kind of as like a half movie,
I got you.
And again, that one's that again, like that's the cool thing about all these is they're all totally different. But that one was really cool because that's international. And there's some beautiful scenery that you can't get like here. It's just a different, it's a whole different world, internationally, especially over in Europe. So, we have the mountains of Scotland, we have the mountains of North Carolina. Which mountain range are we gonna go to next?
Now, did you get a chance to go to Scotland or no?
Yeah, so we filmed partially in Ireland and then partially in Scotland, and I got to go, which is an awesome. I mean, that's a cool thing, especially about in this business. You just never know. I mean, where it's gonna take you. I mean, I always joke I'm like gonna get a phone call to design a movie in space, and I'm gonna be like, "Woo, let's go!" I mean, that scares the heck out of me, but like, I would do it. No, it's
You're
true.
just
You just
up
never
for it.
know. I mean, like the same thing like with Spectacular is like I got that call and they were like, come to New York right now. And then the following year I got the call for Biltmore. But I'd gotten the call for Biltmore really, really early, which is different than Spectacular, which I think also made a difference in, because like you said, like, you know, we don't usually get the luxury of time. So even though I got the call early before things were like fully like official, it gave me the time to like really like percolate on things and sit with the script, which I've learned is like a really big part of my process, is just allowing to yourself to like sit with the information and then see where your mind goes. Because you know what you're doing quickly isn't necessarily bad, but it's not necessarily like the best that you can do. And I just noticed if you let it percolate for a little bit, you can like get some really, really good stuff.
Oh my gosh, Cave! I so enjoyed this conversation. I want to thank you so much for just coming into the home of Dear Hallmark. I felt like you took your shoes off and jumped on the couch with me, and we just like talked. And it feel I
Oh,
just
I love it.
I appreciate this conversation so much. So before I let you go, I want to just give you the opportunity to just say whatever it is you want to say about whether it's costuming, Hallmark, Christmas, food, I don't know. Like whatever you want to say, you can just talk about. This is just your moment to have.
Oh God, my moment. I mean, it's the big thing is like thank you to everybody that watches anything that we do, Hallmark or even not Hallmark, just in this business. I mean, we're at like a really weird pivotal point at the moment, but it allows people on camera and off camera to make a living, and your support of just simply watching helps us survive. And it also brings a lot of joy to me and as well as my team. We have such great memories working on these movies. And it's really awesome to be able to share it with people and then like share behind the scenes stories and stuff like that. So it is a job, but it also like provides a lot of joy to not only the viewer, but people working on it as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, where can people find you on this vast worldwide web if they wanted to connect with you?
I'm Keith underscore costumes, I think everywhere, or keithcostumes.com. You know, the branding. Yeah. It's a cute costume.
We found some kinfolk right now. We found some kinfolk, y'all. So, guys, he's Keith. I'm Dara. This is Dear Hallmark. I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Ciao, my friends.